preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast later. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry about that. One morning, the sound acts right. One morning, I've been dealing with sound issues since I've been preaching. Always weird problems. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio, those watching by Periscope this morning. Welcome those of you here at Fire and Grace Church. We say Happy Mother's Day to everyone, but we don't particularly do holiday messages, so we're going to move on from that. We do love our mothers around here. I miss mine. Mine went to be with Jesus on October 2nd, 2010. I do miss her, but I'm better now. I can say that without choking up now, but I know she's with Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind. I actually saw it. The Lord showed it to me, and it was a powerful moment. So if you have your mother here, definitely let her know you love her. Definitely spend time with her if you can. You never know when they're going to be gone. So it's important. All right, I want everyone to turn in your Bibles this morning, first of all, to Matthew Chapter 24, a familiar passage of Scripture to those in this church and those who listen regularly. This will be a good I guess you would say, a good lead up next week. What I want to talk to you about this morning is the title I've given this is The Age of Deception. The older I get and the more I learn about our world, about history, science, so-called science, I'll say, and the more I learn about God and the Bible and the truth, and yes, after 30 years almost of ministry, and really we could go back when I got saved in 1979, so that's been a little bit longer than 30 years, I continue to learn things about God, about the Bible, about truth that I didn't know. I keep learning. In fact, last night I was studying stuff, even some of it that I'll be sharing next week, that, you know, you'd think in almost 30 years of preaching and teaching, studying, that I would have seen some of these things or studied some of these things, and yet I'm still learning. So don't ever think that you know everything. That's probably the worst place we can be in, is to think we know everything. Especially when it comes to God or the Bible or history or prophecy or archaeology or even science. What I'm amazed at right now is how many scientists think they know everything, and yet there are theories. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Much of science today is a religion. What they call science is a religion. I can prove that very easily because they can't prove evolution. Can't prove it. They'll say they can prove it, but they can't prove it. There's no missing link. Yes, there's species and things that are small, places where species adapt, but macroevolution, no. That's a theory. And theories are assumptions. Theories are guesses, and you have to believe. You see what I'm saying? You have to believe it happened because you weren't there to see it happen, and there's no hard evidence that it happened. So that aspect they call science is really a belief system. It's a religion. It's adhered to with people with fancy degrees and who try to make us believe they're smarter than the rest of us. But fundamental to our humanity, where do we come from? A creator? Or somehow a gazillion perfect accidents happened over billions of years, and we evolved out of the primordial soup. Now, it amazes me that people like Dawkins and these others say it's delusional to believe in God. And I'm like, to say that mankind, human beings, evolved from the primordial soup. Of course, they don't know where that came from. And to believe that all those millions of lottery wins over many, many, many billions of years it would take to win that lottery every time over and over and over again, they say we're delusional for believing that there is a creator, supernatural power, divine, intelligent design. It's ridiculous. Jesus taught this in the last days. Now, I've done a lot of preaching and teaching on the last days in the last 7 or 8 years now. There's no question, according to Bible prophecy, all the signs, specific things, say that we are in the last days. And Jesus made mention of this because Jesus was asked this question in Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24, verse 3. Jesus was asked this question by his disciples because he was talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And this is what he said. We'll just start reading verse 3. And as he, that is Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? That's the Greek word there when he says the end of the world. It's really the age, the end of the age. Because the world itself, the earth, is not going to end when Jesus comes back. This age that we're living in is going to end, and we're going to enter another age called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. So we'll enter just a different time period for earth. Jesus will begin to heal the earth of all the damage that's been done to it. Environmentalists ought to be fans of Jesus. He's going to come back and fix the place, right? But he says, what will be the sign of your coming? They ask him, the disciples ask Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And I love the fact that Jesus, you know, he didn't hurry, he didn't waste his time. He got straight to the point, and he said this in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed, pay close attention, that no man deceive you. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I mean, just the other day, we have Adele saying that Beyonce is Jesus effing Christ. Beyonce. And that she worships Beyonce. Adele. Folks, if you listen to these devil worshipers, you're just into idolatry. I'm just going to tell you. If you're giving them money, you're buying their albums, you're buying their music, you're funding satanic evangelism, what you're doing. You'll give an account for that on the day of judgment, I assure you. But there are people who say, I am Christ, I am a Savior, or I am a God. You know, that's the new thing now. We're all gods, right? The New Agers, the Buddhists, the Hindus, right? We all can be gods, our own little gods, our own little saviors. But he said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, we're going to skip down and look at verse 11. He says, again, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Then he goes down again. Let's go down in the same discussion. Verse 24, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, in such that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, deception is where someone presents a lie as the truth. You understand that? Or they take truth, some truth, and mix lies in with it. Okay? Deception in the New Testament Greek means to wander or to be led astray from safety by being led astray from the truth. Now, Jesus made this statement in John 8:31. He said to the Jews that believed on him, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus also stated in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said very clearly that he was the truth. And then in John 17, he stated to the Father when he was praying, he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So Jesus taught us several things. He taught us that the truth was in the word of God. If we would continue in the word, you can put that up for me, John 8, 31 and 32. He said, if you would continue in the word of God, the Bible, you would know the truth, and the truth would make you free. There is no freedom if you believe lies, if you're deceived. Satan holds the world in his dominion, in his control. When I say the majority, he holds these people in bondage because they believe the lies of this world and the wisdom of this world. The Bible says that the wisdom of this world, what this world thinks is wise and smart and intelligent, God says the wisdom of this world is foolish to him. Because all of the wisdom of this world, the lies of this world, the deception of this world, all of it that's against him and against this book, he says it's foolishness. I love Richard Dawkins has got this book. You know, he's the big atheist now. He's the whatever. What is he, a physicist or astrobiologist? I don't know, whatever he is. The God delusion, he calls it. What's interesting, though, about this guy is the Bible says, the one who says in your heart there is no God, he's the fool. So the Bible calls him the fool. He calls the Bible and the God of creation the fool, but he's the fool. There were going to be these deceptions. Now, I've talked about this many times, but I'm going to bring it into something, several things, setting us up for next week. Because as many of you know, I've been discovering nearly everything that we've been taught in the world system, in the science, from the scientific community, most of it, not all, but most of it is a lie. We've been discovering we are being lied to by the medical community and the psychiatric community and the drug, the pharmaceutical community. We've been lied, we are being lied to. We are in an age of absolute corruption and deception on every level for the love of money and for the agenda to create a world government. I mean, that's really what we've come to. And the level of corruption and liars in this world is at a fever pitch right now beyond what I've ever seen in my lifetime. Liars everywhere you look, deceivers everywhere you look, in every realm, with every degree, in every field of endeavor. Lie, lie, lie. Some know they're lying and deceiving you. Others don't know it, but they believe the lies and deceptions of others, and they just keep perpetuating these things. But Jesus warned, take heed and let no man, no one, I don't care if they have a PhD, let no one deceive you by any means. No one. No deception. Now let's look. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's just so much here. 1 Timothy 6. You know, the Bible warned about false science. Do you know that? Yes, uses the term. Now, let me, before we, while you're turning to that, let me give you the definition of science. Science, the term science, in the Bible twice. Now, in the Old Testament, it is the term mada. In Hebrew, it was written mada. From the book of Daniel, it says when the three Hebrew children with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, and they were with the astrologers and with the wise men of Babylon, and they were taught science. They were learning science. All right? And the word is in the Hebrew is mada. All right? Intelligence or consciousness, knowledge, science or thought, but the root word is yada in Hebrew. And yada means this. Now listen, if you want a true definition of science, I'm going to give it to you. Remember, science is one thing, belief or assumptions and theories are another. But true science is this. Science, as defined in ancient Hebrew, translated in our English, it says to know properly, to ascertain, by seeing. It is, and it says used in a great variety of senses, but it includes observation, recognition. So true science is something that you can see, that you can observe. Mind you, that you can see, that you can observe. Now listen closely to me. Just because someone tells you something that they saw or they believe they see doesn't mean you've seen it, okay? That comes into, do you trust that person? Do you trust that source, okay? True science, also according to Mr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, true science has to have repeatable experiments that come out with the same result, right? Now, let me just give you an example of what I'm, the laughable things that are passed off for science today, okay? Laughable, mind you. Let me pull up this article. I think it was from space.com. And you want to talk about, and I just happened to come across this. I think at Yahoo, yeah, it was yahoo.com, had this article, three newly discovered nearby planets are a game changer in the hunt for alien life. This is Yahoo. Babe, is this from yahoo.com? Okay, you see that? All right, so I'm going to read you this. This is an artist's concept of a rocky Earth-sized exoplanet in the habitable zone of its host star, possibly compatible with Kepler-186f's known data. An international team of astronomers has discovered three, now listen to this, it says they've discovered three Earth-sized exoplanets all orbiting the same star just 40 light years from us. Wow, 40 light years from us. The 16-nation Intergovernmental Research Organization, ESO, reported on Monday. So they reported they have found three planets 40 light years from us orbiting a dwarf star. And they said it could bring us closer to finding extraterrestrial life, right? Star systems like this are promising places to detect alien life. Michael Gillian, lead author of the paper presenting the discovery, said in an ESO press release, and he said, quote, if we want to find life elsewhere in the universe, this is where we should start to look, he said, right? And then the heading on the article goes, now the hunt for aliens. The host star is an ultra-cool dwarf star, a type of cool red star. Most of the time, these stars are too small and faint to be detected by optical telescopes, and this star is no exception. And this is what Gillian said. He said, we are trying to detect Earth-like planets around the smallest and coolest stars in the solar neighborhood. The reason is simple. Systems around these tiny stars are the only places where we can detect life on an Earth-sized exoplanet with our current technology, Gillian said. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The astronomers discovered the planets using a telescope in Chile called the TRA, Transiting Planets and Planetesimals, whatever, small telescope, TRAPPIST. The telescope is designed to focus on nearby dwarf stars and search for planets orbiting them. Okay, all fair enough. We're looking through telescopes. We're trying to find planets 40 light years away. Now listen to this. He says, this is how they say they know that Earth-like inhabitable planets are orbiting this star 40 light years away. This is how they say they know. Because light from the star is dimming at regular intervals, it suggests that several planets are orbiting it. They can't see the planets because the star twinkles at a regular interval. They believe these are planets orbiting stars, this particular star, three planets. But the article is, we have found three exoplanets. You don't know what you found. See what I'm saying? But we'll read because it's in an article in Yahoo, and it came from scientists. They found exoplanets around this dwarf star 40 light years away. They don't know. The star's twinkling. The star's twinkling, and it's planets. That's how they know. This is ridiculous. You get what I'm saying? This is these are assumptions. These are guesses. These are theories. They don't know why the star is dimming at intervals. They have no idea. They can't see that planet at 40 light years away. But this is what we are believing, nonsense like this, and I could give you 100 illustrations of nonsense we are believing that cannot be proved, but we take it as fact. Having said that, let's look at what 1 Timothy said here about it. 1 Timothy 6, everybody with me? We're going to drop down, we're going to read, let's see, let's go on down. Verse 20, very end of the last two verses, 1 Timothy 6:20, he says this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, some people would misread this and go, we should avoid talking about science. That's not what it's saying. He's saying to avoid, turn away from profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science. What it's saying here, if you look this up in the Greek here, oppositions of science, this means conflicting theories of false science. conflicting theories of false science. Turn away from these. Run from these things. Like evolution. Like this. Yeah, they found three exoplanets. Right, because the stars twinkling. Right? Did they see the planets? No, they admitted they did not see them. So guess what? They are simply believing. They're there. That's the definition of a religion, not science. Remember, science is something observable. It's not guesses. It's not assumptions, summations, right? Observable. All right? Now, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, in the end time context, right? And I got to walk over here, so let me cut this off real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to see it. This is in context, the same context Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24 about deception. False Christ, the Antichrist rising to power, Matthew 24 talking about that, the final world leader, the world government. You know, I marvel at the people who don't believe the Bible. The Bible talks about there would be a world government in the end. It would have there would be 10 kings, and it'd have 7 heads and 10 horns. And right now, the world government is coming into power through the UN, and they got the P5 plus 1 plus 1, which is 5 members of the Security Council, right? United States, England, France, Russia, China, plus one, Germany, they added, and the head of the EU, 7 heads. And then under the Security Council, there's a 10-nation rotating leadership council, 7 heads, 10 horns, just like the Bible said. But, oh, the Bible is, it's delusional to believe the Bible. You know what's amazing is the Bible foretold a coming cataclysmic society with something implanted in your hand and forehead. They mock the Bible as delusional, and yet most of the world is racing to fill it, the end time prophecy. Funny, this is how blinded and deceived people are. Okay? But 2 Thessalonians 2, he says this about the Antichrist. He calls him the son of perdition, that wicked whom the Lord will destroy. And he's coming, folks. He's coming. In fact, it says the 7 heads and the 10 horns have to be placed first, and then the 11th horn comes. He comes after this. That's why we're going to see more chaos in the world. The sovereignty of the United States has to be weakened. And we'll see the rise of this man out of chaos, which is, of course, the motto of the Freemasons and the Illuminati, and that is order out of chaos. They want their new world order out of chaos. That's why we'll have World War III, and then out of that, I mean, World War I gave us the League of Nations. It failed. World War II gave us the United Nations, which will soon have World War III, and it'll morph into the one world government, the UORF, and get the control it wants. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, it's talking about the day of the Lord. Of course, verse 1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. So we're talking about the coming of Jesus again, that end time. And he starts talking about, this is the Apostle Paul, one of the first New Testament books written. He says about the coming of the Lord, look at verse 3, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you by any means. Would you say that this is a constant theme and emphasis, right? Don't let anyone deceive you. Not a preacher, not a scientist, not a doctor, not your friend. No one deceive you. Now look what we're about to see here. We're going to go down to verse 8. This is talking about the Antichrist. He says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Listen to this. With all power. This is the word, Greek word dunamis, means miraculous power. This is one thing you will have, miraculous power, signs, and lying wonders. Okay? Signs are just signals. You have power, miraculous signs. You have signals, certain things that will signify who he is and what he's doing. But notice what it says after that. And lying wonders. I'm going to deal with that in just a second here. Kevin, you might want to pull up that the Hebrew words there for, I mean, the Greek words for lying wonders, if you will. But he says, power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause shall God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So see, the danger in the last days, he says, deception. And if you don't love the truth of God's word, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth about creation, about science, according to the Bible, you don't believe the truth about Jesus being the Savior who died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that only his blood can wash your sins away and save. If you don't believe the truth, you will be damned. You will be damned. You will be separated, because you will be deceived by Satan, by the deceivers in this world, in this age of deception that we're in, this last time age of deception. You will be deceived. You will take the mark of the beast. You will the world system. You will bow to it, and you will worship the Antichrist and the system by submitting to it, or you'll submit to Jesus. See, the days ahead, you will have no choice. You will submit to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or you will submit to Antichrist and the beast world system, and you will follow one or the other. In fact, you're following one or the other right now anyway. You're just going to make it official in the days ahead. And Satan's going to make sure, and his servants are going to make sure, that you have to make it official. Why? I love what the Lord said, choose you to this day whom you will serve. Right? But if you'll notice here, it says, even him whose coming is after the work, is speaking of the Antichrist and the whole Antichrist world system in the end, the deception, the lies, will come with power, dunamis, miraculous power, signs, signals, and lying wonders. Now, lying here, you got it ready? I'll pull it up here. Huh? I got it here. I saved it. This is what's interesting. And actually, this came up a few weeks ago. The word here for wonder. All right, first of all, you have the Greek word here for lying is pseudos, a falsehood, untruth, lie. You see that? So it's translated correctly. Here's the word, and you can put this one up. The word for wonder. Lying, so false, untrue, wonder, is the word teros, the Greek word teros. And he'll pull that up in just a second. But this is what teros means. Now listen to this closely. The word teros in the Greek means prodigy. How many of you know what a prodigy is? Let me read the definition here. Prodigy is a person endowed with exceptional qualities or abilities, a genius, a mastermind, right? An impressive or outstanding example of a particular quality. So here we go. He says, prodigy. Let's go back to the word. See it? It's the word teros, a wonder, a marvel. But here in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, it says a prodigy. A prodigy is a genius, a mastermind. So let's go back to the verse, if you can. I'm throwing all this on Kevin without giving it to him beforehand. So we go to 2 Thessalonians, and he says this, this end-time deception of the Antichrist, the beast, the world government, the whole world system, he says, will be with power, signs, and lying geniuses. Oh, my word. Let me give you some lying geniuses. Richard Dawkins. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Liars. I can prove it. Matter of fact, next week I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have a lot of fun. They lie about all kinds of things. They assume a lot of things. And then they try to make the rest of us look stupid or sound stupid. And they're so arrogant, especially... Well, both of them, really. I was reading some stuff. I just couldn't believe it. Of course, they have their right to their opinion, but again, so do I, and so do you. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. And this is sad to me because I see so many over the years. I mean, folks, what lie has turned more people away from the truth of God's word and from knowing the Creator than anything else? False science. False science, lying geniuses who don't really know any more than anyone else, but they have great theories, they have these grandiose theories and assumptions, just like they made with these so-called exoplanets. And that's why the demons and the fallen angels, with all the UFO phenomena that the demons and the fallen angels are creating, so many people are going to fall for that when they fully appear and manifest themselves. So many people are going to fall because these fallen angels and demons are going to say, oh, we're extraterrestrials from the dwarf star with the exoplanet that y'all saw twinkling. Coming. The fallen angels, Satan, the demons are going to masquerade as aliens visiting us. They're already preparing, prepping the population for that deception. And many people are going to say, we must follow the extraterrestrials. The old Prometheus lie, the panspermia, that we didn't come from a creator. See, a lot of them now, a lot of the scientists are realizing that they're having a hard time putting down intelligent design, but they don't want the God of the Bible because they don't understand, they don't want him because he has rules and commands and judgments. Just do what you want. So they've got now a new one. That's what we see in History Channel. The biggest thing on the History Channel is ancient aliens. That's the biggest thing on the History Channel. And the theory that they're putting forth is that the intelligent design did not come from Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Creator, the God of the Bible, who's proven himself. No, it's some extraterrestrial race that came and seeded us here. So that's one of their theories. But the devil's been setting this one up since the early 1900s. This deception's coming. And if you don't love the truth of the Bible, you will believe it. It's going to be so dramatic and so amazing when world leaders finally step forward and say, oh, yes, we've been in contact with extraterrestrials for years. They've given us technology and help and knowledge and all these things. And don't get me wrong, there's world leaders already doing it. Like I said last week, the Canadian Minister of Defense, former Canadian Minister of Defense, Paul Heather, has come forward and said, yes, we've been in contact with extraterrestrials. He may believe they have, because guess what? Fallen angels and demon spirits can manifest in physical form and deceive people. It's been going on for years. A demon appeared to Muhammad, claimed to be Gabriel, an angel. It wasn't Gabriel. It was a fallen angel making himself out to be an angel of light and gave Muhammad the Quran that hates God of the Bible, that hates Jesus, and hates Christians. Denies Jesus. You know, the Quran conveniently denies 8 times that Jesus died on the cross and is the Son of God, rose from the dead. Denies all that. How convenient. An angel comes along to Muhammad and says, hey, guess what? Jesus is not really the Son of God. He didn't die on the cross for your sin. And, oh, 500 years after the New Testament was finished. Yeah. And look, a billion people are deceived by that. 1.8 billion. I was thinking of the Catholic Church. 1 billion deceived. All right. Go back to Revelation chapter 12. Again, end time context. In fact, Revelation 12 is talking about when there's 3.5 years left before Jesus returns. And he's talking, he makes a statement here that's mind-blowing, that's consistent with what we see in Matthew 24. It's consistent with what we see in 2 Thessalonians 2. And it is, that's one thing I love about the Bible. It's very consistent. End time context, just prior to Armageddon, just prior to the second coming of Jesus, just prior to the end, it says these words here, verse 7, Revelation 12, verse 7, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. He neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Look at this, which deceiveth the whole world. You see this? This is saying that really the whole world is deceived. And then he gives you a little clarity on that. Look in Revelation 13. Well, let me keep reading first. And Revelation 12, he said, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. This is how we overcome Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of their testimony, what Jesus has done in their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death, meaning that we're willing to die for it if we must. So, you see deception mentioned. Then look over in Revelation 13. This talks about the beast with seven heads, ten horns, and the Antichrist rising to power, and the war with the saints. Look at verse 7. Speaking of the Antichrist and the beast world government with seven heads and ten horns, he says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now look at verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Worship who? The beast, the dragon, the world government system. They shall worship. Now let me say what the word worship means. Worship doesn't always mean you bow down. It simply means to revere, to submit to kiss the hand. Literally is the picture you get in the Greek. I mean, we do it. You know, when you stand up and you put your hand over your heart and you say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, is what makes it okay for us to declare that. But the day is coming when the Pledge of Allegiance will be to the new world government. You'll have to pledge allegiance. You'll have to take their chip in your hand to buy or sell. You'll submit to it, and that will be an act of worship. You let them put it in your hand or your forehead. What's coming? The chip, the mark, to be able to buy or sell, to submit to that system that is coming. See, this is not speculation. It is happening. In fact, just last week, it was reported by Bloomberg, a liberal news agency, Bloomberg, reported there was a secret meeting with bankers in America to do away with cash as soon as possible. We're headed to a cashless society, as the Bible foretold 2,000 years ago. And that the system would be antichrist. It would be against Christianity, against Christians. And it is. Just like the Bible foretold, 2,000-year-old prophecy. And he says here in verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the beast, the dragon, the system of Satan at the end, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. See, I can say with great authority, with the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, in truth, according to the Bible, or you will follow the lies of the world system, the deception of Satan, the beast world government, the beast world system. You will submit to one or the other. Your knee will bow to Jesus or the world. Many are already there. I mean, look at Adele. Posting the picture of herself bowing to Beyonce, who Beyonce admits she's possessed by an entity named Sasha Fierce. And then, the couple of years ago, the Super Bowl pictures caught her. People who slowed down the video caught the demon possession coming up in her face. And I've seen demons. I've been casting demons out of people for 20 years. I've seen demon possessions. She's demon possessed. She even admits that she can't even do the things. She can't even hit the notes or make the dance moves that she does until this entity rises up within her. She admits it, and Adele says she worships Beyonce. And it's well known, Beyonce, Jay-Z are Satanists in the Illuminati. They admit it. And I understand the unsaved, the worldly, the ungodly, the unrighteous wanting to chase after these idols they've made out of these people. But Christians, good Lord, have mercy. That's why a lot of Christians aren't going to heaven, folks. They're not. They're not. They're idolaters. They love the world. They love the wickedness and the idolatry. They finance it. They support it. They're part of the system of Satan. Greatest deception right now, one of the greatest deceptions, is in the science world, folks. I promise you next week, you want to bring people next week. I'm going to lay out the case. Biblically, with evidence. In fact, we're not going to do praise and worship next week. We're going to do a full 2 to 3 hours PowerPoint teaching, the whole nine yards. Satan's greatest lie. The lies from NASA. The lies from Tyson and Hawkins and all the rest of them. The lies. Their inconsistencies. Their assumptions. Their arrogance. And the proof that people are doing, the experiments being done by normal people to prove that all the crap you've been taught in your science class, that 90% of it is false. And it's just as the way the Bible said. Gonna do it. We did our own test. We did our own experiment. Proved it. So bring people. Bring your notepads. Let no man deceive you. You hear what I'm saying? No one. Not the lying geniuses. That just blew my mind. A few weeks ago, I looked that up. Lying wonders. Lying prodigies. Are there smart people that are deceived? Yeah. Let's look at one more passage before we close today. Second Timothy chapter 3. In fact, a couple of places in Timothy. Of course, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron." Listen, a lot of these scientists, let me tell you, what I'm going to share with you next week, a lot of these scientists know. But if they were dared to say the truth, they would lose their jobs, their money, their position, their prestige. They would lose it all. Money is usually the motivator in keeping someone in a lie. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money, the love of money. When you love money more than you love the truth. That's why our church is small. It'll probably always stay small. You know why? I don't love money. I love the truth more. I'll preach things and teach things that make some, if it doesn't make this person mad, it's going to make this one over here mad. I found out most Christians can't handle that. They can't handle the truth, as Jack said, right? They can handle a little bit. They can handle the truth they like. Most of them, when they go to church, I can't remember who said this the other day, but it may have been just a meme, right? I can't remember, but it just said this. It was so true. It said most people don't go to church to hear the truth. They go to church to have what they think is the truth reaffirmed to them. But church ought to shake up your world. If you hold certain beliefs that are false, if you have worldviews based on the world system and all their lies and deception and manipulation, the church, the true pastors and prophets and apostles and teachers and evangelists, true Christians should shake that up. It should disturb you. It should rock your world all out of proportion. I tell people all the time. And people go to church and they think it's the place to just be, you know, get their little religious fix for the week. Feel good about myself because I went to church. Check that off. All right? In fact, church should be disturbing much of the time. It should disturb. If you're in sin, if you're disobeying God's commands, if you're living, it ought to disturb you. How many of you have been disturbed at one point or another in one of our services? Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 states this. Again, the context of the last days. Verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, greedy of money. Money is the ruling. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Isn't it interesting? Beyonce's little entity in her, Sasha Fierce. Says fierce, despisers, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And look at what this says over here in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men, seducers. The Greek word for seducers, goes, means imposters. People who gain identities, PhDs, in order to deceive you. And it says these people in the last days will get worse and worse, deceiving you and being deceived themselves. Bill Nye, the science guy. He's one of these guys. Act like they know. Right? They can't tell me there is no God. How do they know that? You know, I wish I had a chalkboard here. Do we have that little screen? You know, this illustration. Where's the marker? We have it? Ah, here it is over here. Here's the illustration I've seen over the years. You can ask a scientist or an atheist. Here we go. Over here. You see that circle? It didn't do too good. Its marker's about gone. Anyway, here's the circle. This is all the possible knowledge, let's say within this circle here, all the possible knowledge within the universe. Right? So you would say, okay, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Richard Dawkins, whoever, pick your atheist, your scientist, your anti-God, astrophysicist, whoever you want to pick. How much do you think you know? What percentage? Let's make a pie here. We can make a pie. How much percentage do you think that you, of the knowledge in the universe you have? Let's say, you know, Neil deGrasse had a moment of humility and said, well, maybe this little sliver right here, that's what we know. Or maybe he says, we know it all. What if God's over here? Just because he hasn't encountered God does not mean I have not encountered God. Just because he says, I don't believe God exists, doesn't mean that it's fact or truth or that he can demonstrate it by any scientific method. So, well, you can't. Finding scientific method. Oh, yes, there's, because we exist. And you know what I was thinking about that? Not just the fact that we exist. It's funny. But even science admits all of this came from nothing. in a sense. But you know something? Here's how I know. Let me tell you how I know. Because this man, when he was 16 and 17 and 18 years old, only had several goals in life. One was to see how much sexual immorality I could be involved in. Two was to see how much beer and liquor I could drink. Third was to see how many drugs I could try without getting into heroin or getting addicted. And the fourth was to become rich and famous. And I was on my way. I was doing all those things. Partying like a maniac. Screen test for all my children, one life to live. Going to be in the movies with Bruce Willis. About to have every single thing. I mean, you want to talk about a party animal? I was the party animal. I had no comprehension. I was completely blinded. All I did know, though, is at 19 years old, I had basically become an alcoholic. I was drinking every day. And God came along. And it wasn't in a church service. It wasn't at a weak moment. In fact, I was on my way to be in the first Die Hard movie. All my friends were partying. We're going to be rich, but we're going to have us an entourage in Hollywood. We're going to have a time. And that was before Marky Mark's entourage. I'm telling you, we were all getting ready to go. Hollywood. I already had people. I wasn't even in the movie yet. I was just cast in it. I just had got a part. I was going to be in it. And people were already asking me for my autograph on my headshots. I was giving out autographs. Modeling shoots in Atlanta. Yeah. I had everything going for me. Top fraternity in my college. About to play football for them. Big man on campus. Life of the party. But on the inside, none of it was making me any happier. There was no joy. There was no peace. I had some fun because I would get drunk enough to have fun. It's to this day why I can't even smell bourbon or whiskey. Keep tequila away from me and bourbon. Don't even smell it. I've thrown up so much from that stuff. Chasing me. Oh, people want to be my friends. People want to hang out. People want to go with me to Hollywood. And God reached down and touched this 19-year-old who at the time had no intention on following God or changing the course of my life or the path of my life. And when we were worshiping, that's what I was thanking God for. I thank God all the time that while I was in my deception and my blindness and living in sin and about to destroy myself, and my life would have taken a completely different course. I would have been Heath Ledger, y'all. I would have been dead in my 20s. Or River Phoenix, or any, that's what I would have been. Because I didn't know slow down. Right? You give me millions of dollars, and, you know, I like what, what's his name, Deion Sanders said. He said, money doesn't change you, it just makes you more of what you already are. And let me tell you, you'd have given me money from movies, and I started making a lot of money in Hollywood, I'd have made, it'd be a new legend. But God reached down and began to touch my heart, and it wasn't emotional manipulation. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't losing everything. I wasn't losing everybody. God just showed me I was lost. I was headed to destruction. I was headed to hell. It didn't look like it at the time. That's why Proverbs says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seemed right to me. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, movies with Bruce Willis. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Rich, famous, have everything. clearly when he began to touch my heart and show me I was lost. I was headed to the road of destruction and hell. And he began to speak to me. And he said, son, you can have everything the world has to offer and go to hell. Or you can surrender your life to me and live forever. And God revealed himself to me in a very personal and deep way. So Neil deGrasse and Richard Dawkins and all the rest of them can say he doesn't exist. But I can tell you, I met him. I know him. Jesus is real. He changed my life. He saved me from drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality and from getting, you know, AIDS or whatever else I'd have gotten in Hollywood. Times from drinking and driving, he saved my life. Because people pray for me. I know he's real. The issue is, do you know he's real? You got to know for yourself. You can meet him. You can get to know him. You can experience his presence, his power. You can hear his voice. He can be real to you, but you have to seek him. You have to go after him. Sometimes, hey, God, sometimes he goes after you. He went after me. I thank God he went after me. But here's the thing. If you hear the gospel this morning, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the warnings of the end time deception. It is upon us. People listen to us from all over the country. I mean, what? We got 15 people, 20 people in here this morning, whatever. But we'll have hundreds listen over the next week. Literally hundreds will listen from countries all over the world. Blows my mind. Will you? You're listening. The time has come. Do you want to follow Jesus and know him, the creator of heaven and earth, the true creator? I'm going to give you the proof. I'm going to show you where they've lied to us, even more. But you can know the creator, or in the days ahead, you're going to follow the Antichrist. You're going to follow the devil. The beast, the system. There's only two ways to go. Even Led Zeppelin told you that. Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. Yes, there are two paths you can go by. But in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on. Right? They knew. They knew. Occultists, Satanists, openly. In their song, you don't even have to spin it backwards. Yeah, spinning it backwards says, hail to my sweet Satan right there. But even forward, it says the piper, which is the term, the piper is calling you to join him. Lucifer, the devil, come join him. I mean, when Jimmy Page buys Aleister Crowley's house and opens the largest occult bookstore in the world called Equinox, little hint, he might be a Satanist. Right? See, this is what's so funny. The true Christians who know the Bible know the truth. People who really know the devil know the truth. They know the reality. What's going on? They've just chosen their side. The Freemasons, the Illuminati, the occultists that are high up in these things, they know the truth. Everything that I'm talking to, they know it's true. They know there's a God named Yahweh. They know Jesus is coming back. In fact, that's why they're building all these underground bases. And what did the Bible say 2,000 years ago? That the military men and the rich men and the wealthy men would find caves and underground places to hide themselves. And that's what they're doing. They know the wrath of Jesus Christ, the wrath of the Lamb, the second. They know it's coming. They actually believe they're going to be able to defeat him with technology, genetically altered soldiers. I mean, the chief of staff of the United States Army, General Milley, stated this past week, well, he was speaking to the 100th anniversary of the ROTC at Norwich College. He tells them, you're going to face hybrid armies and little green men. That's what you're going to be fighting against. He said, you people in ROTC that are going to come up and lead the Army and the Air Force and the Marines, you're going to be fighting hybrid armies. So they're admitting to you they're genetically manipulating and creating super soldiers and little green men, the aliens. He said it publicly. Guy from Princeton. You say, Pastor Dean, you're crazy. You're the one, you're talking about aliens. You're talking about deception on this level. Let me tell you, when the general chief of staff, general of the United States Army, says it publicly, and he went to Princeton, is he a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist? It was in the Army Times. They know. They absolutely know. Now, some of them that know, the ETs, think they're ETs. Granted, they're deceived by them. They think they're extraterrestrials, and they're really the fallen angels. And their offspring, the Nephilim. In the days ahead, if you live much longer, we're going to see just what General Milley said. We're going to see the hybrids, the hybrid human beings. The transhuman movement, the enhancements, genetic and technological enhancements of human beings, brain chips. I mean, think about it. The Bible said something can be planted in your hand or in your head. And now, DARPA, they've got it, the brain chips. Everything the Bible said is now happening that would happen in the end of time, end of the age. So you'll be forced, especially, you know, I believe beyond any shadow of a doubt that I will see it. I won't pass away before it happens. But you younger ones will definitely see it. There's no question you'll see it. Things are speeding, going so fast now, it's blowing my mind. But see, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'm going to finish with this. How many of you know this? You know that the accusation, when we start talking about the UFO phenomena, the government covering up things, all kind of, what are we start talking about, the government actually lies. Well, we start talking about, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, right? That's the accusation that always comes up. That was created by the CIA back during the JFK investigations to silence anyone who would actually question the official story. Created by the CIA. Fact. That's fact. Freedom of Information Act. Reveal those documents. It's a fact. Created by the CIA. And I know somebody, if that's what comes out of your mouth, the first thing when somebody starts talking about, you know, the government might actually lie to you. Somebody might actually, who has a degree, tell you something that's false. And you say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. You're brainwashed by what the CIA wanted you to believe. It's a method to not get you to question anything. We should question everything. What's the Chinese scientist guy? Macchio or Macchio? I don't know. He's got the white hair. He's always on all these shows. Even he says, question everything. Oh, if you dare do it now, oh, conspiracy theorist. Right? As I've said before, if it's in Bible prophecy and you see it happening in the world, or you see a general, the chief of staff, or the 39th chief of staff of the United States Army say it, is he a conspiracy theorist? What this book said, every bit of it is happening, and it will come to completion. And you will be one side or the other. You will know the truth and walk with the truth, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on that cross and rose from the dead, or you will walk with the beast and the Antichrist and the world system and their priest called scientist. Because the real Scientology, the real science religion is going on now. And they wow us with their rocket. I mean, they're like the first people that found, you know, these people in the Amazon and took out a little lighter and lit it. Oh, fire gods are with you. No, it's a lighter. See, we believed all this nonsense. Ooh, they got rockets. This is what they tell us about space. And none of us have seen it for ourselves. But we believe them about everything. Yeah, they have rockets. Is there an three exoplanets around this star 40 million light years? No. They don't know. They don't know any more than you or I know. But they got you believing it because we found it. The star twinkles. There's three planets going around it. This star, we can't see it, but we know what's happening. Oh, that means there's alien life there. Boy, you want to talk about jumping to conclusions. And they talk about us being crazy? Amen? Don't be deceived. Jesus warned us, end times, the last day would be an age of deception, an age of delusion, an age of deceit. He said many would be deceived. He said nearly the whole world would be deceived. Which side are you going to be on, truth or deception? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you today, God, to reveal yourself. Lord, I thank you that in 1987, you revealed yourself to me in a powerful way. And I knew that you died for me on that cross and you rose from the dead and that you are the way to save me from destruction, from sin, from eternal damnation, from believing all the lies. I thank you, God, that you brought me out of that darkness into your marvelous light. I would change a thing. I am so glad you woke me up 29 years ago. Father, I pray that same thing would happen to people listening, people who hear this message, who heard this message today, who will hear it later. God, change lives, save lives. Keep people from destruction, eternal damnation, deception, lies. Help us. Help us shine your light to people around us. And we pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, next, part three, Lucifer's greatest global deception. We will deal with part three. You'll find out almost everything in your science book is a lie. It's not science, it's a religion. So, be here next week. We'll have the PowerPoint. We'll have question and answer afterward. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Silas, would you close us out in prayer over the offering? And if you have tithe or offering, please put it in the basket as you go out. And next week, we're going to have a church kind of work day next Saturday, say from 11 to 2. Get some things done around here. I'm going to try to get this. And Kevin and I are going to try to get the sound and make sure everything's working for Sunday. But anyway, if you can make it, please come give us a hand next Saturday at 11 o'clock. We'll be here. And got to get that sign in the ground. We got a banner coming. We got all kinds of stuff. Anyway, Silas, go ahead, brother. Just dismiss us.
Thank you right now for